Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Welcome to those watching online as well, whether live or a week, a month, a year from now. I believe that what we're going to talk about is as relevant today as it would be a couple of years from now. How many people were at the service last week? You will remember if you were, because it was outside and you were like, it's so hot. How many people were at that? Does anyone remember what I talked about? The light. Jesus is the light, right? That's how we began. When we do the outside service, I always seem to have a nature-themed message because we're outside, right? And so I was just thinking about Jesus being the light. And a scripture, a theme that we had was from John 9, verse 5. And Jesus said this, "While I'm in the world, I'm the light." And so that makes sense, right? We all agree with that. But as Jesus was leaving this world, here's what he said. "I'm leaving, so now you're going to be the light." And so all of a sudden now we were called to do what Jesus did. And if you look at all the things Jesus did, he did some amazing things, didn't he? But God has called you and I to do those same amazing things, hasn't he? And so we talked about that. I used the illustration from the Old Testament with Gideon, if you remember, in that story in Judges chapter 6 to chapter 8. It's a great, great account. But in that, the enemy was tens of thousands, and he had 300 people with him. Well, 299 with him makes it an even 300, right? And so what he did, he put torches in these clay jars, and he surrounded the enemy, and he broke the clay torches so the light could shine out, right? And the enemy went nuts, killed each other, and basically there was this great victory that happened. And it reminded me of a scripture in the New Testament in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, and the Apostle Paul says this, that we have this treasure in clay vessels. And that word treasure in the context of that scripture is actually talking about the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in us. You see, the Jesus in us, that light that's in us, really is the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. You know, you could say, I got Jesus in my heart. I've got the Holy Spirit in my heart. I have the light of God in me. Amen? And so we need to remember that and acknowledge that. So as I was thinking about this week, in fact, Sunday afternoon, I was talking to someone near and dear to me, and we were just talking about it, and I realized, and kind of realized it together, that we should probably talk about the clay vessel part, because that's what we are. That's what the scriptures say. And so what I want to do is explore this a little bit, and here's what's going to happen. Here's what I believe is going to happen. By the time we get to the end, you're going to feel better about yourself. I absolutely believe that. Just say amen, all right? Because that amen, you know what that means? It says, may it be so. That's literally what the word amen means. So a lot of people don't know that. That literally means, may it be so. Don't you want to feel better at the end of the service? You might feel great now. How many people want to feel greater at the end? Amen. All right, let's believe together, amen, that that's going to happen. So let's begin to lay a foundation, and we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 18. Now, just to give you some historical background, because I believe it's important. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, and there was a reason. He was living in a time of terrible things going on in the nation of Israel. In fact, it wasn't even one nation. It had split into two nations. So you had the 10 tribes to the north, and you had the two tribes to the south, and the 10 tribes in the north had been conquered already by the Assyrians and been taken into captivity. But because of some of the good kings and the right attitude of the people in the south turning back towards God, they hadn't been conquered yet. But God was warning them through Jeremiah, listen, if you don't change, doom and gloom, it's coming. If you don't repent and turn back, then you're going to be conquered as well. And that's literally the time that Jeremiah was living in. It's between 500 and 600 years before the coming of Jesus. So you can just kind of see the timeline of what's going on. So Jeremiah was in a really, really tough place being a voice for God. In fact, at different times, the kings and leaders of Judah literally put him in prison. At one point, they threw him in an empty well, and he lived down in an empty well for a while. It was not a good time for Jeremiah. And so he was seeking God. When you read the book of Jeremiah, he's crying out to God, saying, God, help them, help me, help us, you know, literally. I think that times really aren't much different today. Don't we live in divided times where there's wars and strife and different things going on? We just had it looks like an assassination attempt yesterday. You know, nothing new. There's been, a dozen or so presidents and people running for president, attempted assassinations. So we shouldn't be surprised by these things living in a dark world, right? But we're living in a time where there are many people who are not following Jesus. And as a result of it, is affecting even the lives of you and I. And so, with that as kind of a base, and us being clay vessels, let's look at Jeremiah 18, verses 1 to 6. I'm reading from NIV. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at this, at the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." And so that message was to the people of that day. But listen to me, there is always a spiritual message for us. As we read that in his Old Testament context, that was a word for those people of that day. But listen to me, the times are not much different today. And I believe that there's words for us from the Lord as well. So let's look at that. Let's look back at verses 1 and 2 just for a minute. And you see here the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. So God spoke to him and said what? "Arise and go to the potter's house. There I will cause you to hear my words." So let's define some things. In this account, this allegory type story, who's the potter? God is, all right? And so here's what it's saying: arise and go down to God's house, or God's place, right? And here I will cause you to hear my words. Here's my first point is this: how often are we going to God's house? Now, again, I'm not preaching, this isn't about coming to church. Listen, you're here. I'm preaching to the choir, if you hear what I'm saying. I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm talking about going to him in prayer. Now, that could be in your car, in your bathroom, at home at the dinner table, while you're lying in bed, while you're trying to walk or run on the treadmill. Whatever you might be doing, are you going to God's house? Are you coming into his presence and having a conversation with him? And I see this is the very start of the whole thing. Are you coming to talk to him? And the Lord says, go there. Listen, I'm telling you, go there. Go where God is. Listen, if your life is a mess, don't put your hand up, all right? Just keep looking at me and smile. No one will know your life's a mess, all right? But if your life's a mess, let me tell you something. 95% of the problem is you're not seeking him first. Now listen, some of you, you're mad at me already. You're like, "Pastor Carl, you don't know what's going on." And you start telling me about so-and-so and this person, that person. Listen, that all may be true. But you're a mess inside because you haven't consulted with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your mess outside can still be a mess, but you could be everything in order on the inside. And can I tell you, that'll change how you view the mess on the outside. You get your house in order on the inside, then you can move forward to do other things. Amen? And so the thing is, the outside's not the problem. Can I just tell you that? It's the inside. Go to the Lord. Go to the potter and have a conversation with him. And not just once, because you're going to leave this thing, "Oh, yeah, okay, I'll go talk. God, you know, I'm here to talk to you. Pastor Carl says I should." And you have a chat for about a minute, and then you leave. No, no, no. I'm talking about a daily walking in his presence. Where's the light of Jesus? In your heart. Where's the presence of God? In your heart. You can, listen, there's nothing in this world, natural or spiritual, that can separate you from the presence of Jesus. Nothing. And in fact, it goes as far as to say this, not just his presence, but from his love. Oh my gosh. Do you know that many of our problems today is because we feel unloved? There's one who sticketh closer than a brother, who will always love you no matter what. Have you been a jerk? Don't put your hand up. You get what I'm saying. Have you said things, done things you shouldn't do? Have you acted a certain way? You know, all of that. Put all that aside. Do you know what Jesus keeps saying? I love you. Hallelujah. Now that doesn't mean he condones what you've done. He doesn't mean you got, quote, a pass. But he loves you unconditionally. And so it's so important to walk with him and have that God consciousness. There's a good word. Wherever you are, at work, at school, at home, in your car, wherever you are, have a consciousness that he's there with you. Not as a guy with a giant a fly swatter to whack you if you do something wrong, but rather someone to help you when you've got a need. He's there to help you. I was just talking to someone earlier today that's just going through a tough time of life. And the first thing I said as he began to tell me some things, I said, look, I'm not here to condemn you or put you down or judge you. I'm here as a representative of Jesus to love on you. And that's how God is with you and I as well. So go to the next verse, 3 and 4. Let's have a peek at that. So there's something else I underlined here. And it says, and the vessel that he made, so the potter made, right, was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel. Okay, this is really, really, really important. If you go to a regular place where they make pots, all right, every bit of clay gets used. Every bit of clay. Now, it's a little different after it goes through the firing process, but the raw clay, if it gets messed up on the potter's wheel, do you know what you do with it? You take it, you add some more water to it, you clump it all together, knead it out, and you do it again. Here's my point for you and I. There's no extras in God. You know how like on the movie set they have extras that might get, they're in the background or whatever? Can I tell you that we are all part of the main act? God has called you and I to be that way. And so you might say, well, hold it. You know, I was a mistake. Listen, you're talking to someone who literally was a mistake. I went to my mom one day and said, Mom, you know, my older sister's 10 years older than me. Why did you wait so long? You know what her answer was? You were an accident. She literally said that without hesitation. She didn't have to think about it. She said, yeah, you were an accident. I'm like, well, what about my little brother who was born 14 months later? Oh, no, he was planned. Thanks, Mom. You get what I'm saying? So if anybody has an excuse to say that they were an extra, that they were marred or something, I can say that. But here's what I found out, that as I come to know Jesus, I realized that there were no mistakes in Jesus. Now, here's the thing. My mom didn't know that I was coming along, but can I tell you that eons in time ago, millions of years ago, Jesus knew that I would exist. And he had a plan. It says in Psalms 139, before we lived one day, he had every day planned out for us. My God, every day. You get that? Like, that's incredible when you begin to think about it. And that's the God we serve. And so listen, you are not a mistake. Everything has been formed for a purpose. There's nothing marred. And again, we're going to talk about this a little later, but you might say, but I got this, or I got that, or I don't got this, don't got that. Listen, put all that aside for a minute, and you need to believe that you are a vessel that God has made and that he is proud of you. Now, that's tough for some of you. Some of you are like, you proud of me? You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I think. You don't know what I did. Listen, when he made you, before you yet lived one day, he said, I made you. That's what he, and I love you. Before you did anything, good or bad. Do you know that he still says that to all of mankind? Still says that. It's amazing. Amazing. Let's move to the 5 and 6 verse. And I underline one last thing in this portion of scripture. And it says, look as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. So here's the thing. We started about the importance of going to the potter's house to talk to him. The second step to that is to place your life into his hands. So not just talking to him or about things, but rather saying, Lord, I commit my life to you. I surrender. Ooh, there's a word. Ooh. I surrender to you. And to place yourself in the hands of the potter, the one who made you in the first place, and is all about fixing things that are broken. That's really what he's all about. Now, as I was thinking about this, you know, I think about natural pottery. And how many people maybe went at school or maybe as a, you know, as you got older, did a pottery class of some sort? Anybody here? We had about half the people at the first service. So, you know, there's a process involved, and there's different kinds of clay, I get it, some different temperatures, but the principles are all kind of the same. So basically, you take clay, you add some water to it, and you have to knead it. You have to, kind of like flour. And why do you do that? You have to get the air out. Because when it goes in for a firing, if there's any little air pockets, literally, your pottery will explode. It's quite a thing to hear when that happens. And you just pray it's not your pot exploding inside the kiln, right? And that your pot's not close to that person's pot that exploded. And so it does happen. But before the firing, it's called greenware. And so it's very soft and malleable. And so what happens is that pot then, or whatever shape thing you're making, is put on a shelf after you make it. And it has to sit there for a couple weeks usually because there's moisture in it and it has to air dry. But then what happens is it goes through what's known as the first firing. And so it goes in a kiln. The temperatures vary a little bit, but anywhere between about 1,200 degrees to 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. So pretty hot. So for about 15, 20 minutes, it's brought up to that temperature. Then it's left in there for a couple of days to cool slowly off. So then you think, okay, great, take it out. It's still not done. Why? Clay is what? It's porous, isn't it? So if you're going to use that pot to hold water or hold anything that's of any value that you don't want it to permeate into the clay, it has to be glazed. So then you coat it with glaze, right? Cover it inside and out with glaze. Then it goes back in the kiln, and this time it's fired at a higher temperature, anywhere between 2,000 to 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit, again, depending on the clay and the glaze and all that. So it goes through this whole thing again for about 15, 20 minutes at that temperature, then left to cool for a couple of days. And so as I was looking at that, you know, natural process of making a clay vessel, I kind of see some similarities with us as human beings, right? You know, when we're first born, we're like greenware. In fact, even think of kids, their brain is mushy, right? Their whole skull is even mushy. Their bones are all flexible. Talk about greenware, you know, being flexible, literally. But that's just in the natural. But what about even spiritually and even morally, all of that? They're all being shaped and formed, right? You know, until they get to that age of, and it varies with different kids, right? Anywhere between like 5 and 12, where they've gone through some firing. They've gone through some experiencing of life, right? And they become hardened. They become opinionated. You know, our children, by the time they were 5, all 5 of them, they were fire hardened. You know, they had an opinion. They had a certain character. That you know, there was a hardening that happened, right? But then here's the thing. Then you know, in a sense, the glaze got put on. Some more things happened. And then they went through another firing. And I kind of liken that to maybe as a teenager, later teens, going into young adulthood, where, again, you're formed. And I think this fits because even Billy Graham, who did a study on people accepting Christ, statistically more people accept Christ as a young person than as an older person. Well, why is that? Because as a younger person, you're still moldable, you're still flexible, you're still able to accept new things into your life. That doesn't mean an older person can't, but just naturally speaking, it's easier. And so as I looked at it, there's some natural things that you can compare and say it's the same. There's one thing, though, that's different. And if you don't remember anything else, this is what I want you to remember. That when pottery is fired and goes into that kiln and it cracks, do you know what they do with that pottery normally? It just gets thrown away. So if you go to a pottery place, they have a giant bin, and you know what's in there? Just all the busted pottery. That's where it is. But. God. But God, listen to me, he can take us as his clay vessels, and no matter how hard we've gotten, no matter what crack is in our life, he can redeem that, and he can repair us and make us soft again and reform us, and then we go through the fire again, but come out the other side okay. This is just really, really, really important. So I've brought an illustration with me. I went to Home Depot, and I bought a pot. Now, when you think of about a pot, in fact, by the way, it was kind of hard to find these. Everything's plastic now. So it took me a while to find a real clay pot, right? But here it is. So I went to Home Depot, and I bought this clay pot. And you look at it, it's quite strong, but it's fragile at the same time. Just like you and I. We have strength, don't we? We have abilities and things that we can do. We have that. Yet there's still a fragility that's in our life. And as we go through the different firings of life, you know, the heat of experiences that happen, not all of it's good, is it? Anybody had one bad experience in life? Anybody had like several thousand bad experiences? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. You know, life happens. We have these multiple firings that happen. And as a result of it, we become hardened, but sometimes to the point where we crack. And even worse, it didn't break this time. Ah, this is one tough vessel. So there are times where you don't break. Then there are times where you do. There it is. The last one, all I did was drop it gently and it shattered into a million pieces. Anyway, got the million pieces now. So here's the deal. Sometimes we become broken as a result of our own decisions. In other words, we do something, we make a wrong corner somewhere, do something, and we break ourselves, so to speak. Other times, someone else has handled us. You hear what I'm saying? Someone else has handled us, and they have literally crushed us, thrown us to the ground. And we've been broken into a million pieces. Now, if this was the world, you know what the world would look at? They would look at this mess and say, there's no hope. Throw you out into the dustbin, out in the back. You know, break you up into little pieces, maybe throw you out into concrete or something, be part of an asphalt place. In other words, you could never be put back together again. I'm here to tell you that in God, all things are possible. But there's some things that you and I have to consider. First of all, are we willing to admit our brokenness? And then in that, do we have the right attitude? Let me just read a scripture to you. In Romans 9, verse 20, I love this. But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it? Why did you make me like this? See, here's the problem for you and I. We're cracked. We're cracked pots. We're broken pots, just like this. And so we go to God, and here's what we say. God, why did you do this? Why am I like this? Now, I get it. I've done that in my past. I never got really a good answer from that. Do you know why? Because I was asking the wrong question. What I needed to say was this. Lord, I'm broken. Will you help me? You see, the first thing that I said was, God, why did you do this? Here's what I've done. I've made him the one that broke me. But he didn't break me. I broke myself, or someone in life broke me. God didn't do it. So what's the first step in being able to be put back together again? Now, I'm going to say something, and some of you guys, you're going to get mad at me, but just keep looking at me. Don't walk out. Just listen. Follow this through. I'm here to help you, okay? You need to own this. Now, right away, some of you are saying, but he did this to me, or she did that to me, or this happened. It wasn't me. It was them. Yeah, I hear you. But you still got to own it. And what do I mean by that? You've got to own it by admitting you've got a problem. Not accusing God, not accusing whoever or the circumstances or anything else, but rather own it, meaning be willing to come to a place to say, I'm a cracked pot. And I need help. You see, at that point, God could say, aha, I'm here to help you now. But if you're accusing him of breaking you and yelling and screaming at him with that kind of attitude, he can't even help you. But you have to come to the potter as the pot and say, please, you made me in the first place. Can you fix this? And hand him the pieces of your life. Are you willing to do that? I know that's hard, because when you're broken and hurting, all you're wanting to try to do is hold on to the pieces you still have. You get what I'm saying? The biggest pieces you can. And you're like, I don't trust anybody. I get that. I get where you're at. But let me tell you something. You can trust God. He's not like a man that he can lie. And when he says he loves you, he really does love you. There is a form of pottery repair that is a Japanese form, and it's called, I'm going to butcher the name of it, kintsugi. Show the first picture, will you? This is an example of a repair using the method that's used in Japan. So these are two cracked pots, and they've both been repaired using the technique from Japan. And what they do, actually, is really interesting, is that they get the pot, and they get as many pieces as they can, you know, that they have. And what they do, they take a sap from a tree that only grows in Japan, believe it or not. And in fact, it's interesting, for them to take the sap from this tree, it kills the tree. Interesting. We'll go back to that in a minute. And then what they do is they make this glue kind of out of it, and they actually fill all the joints, and they glue the thing together. Now you think, great, it's done. No. They got to do this layer after layer after layer. So it can take 3 months or more to actually finish the job. So what happens is they glue it for the first gluing, they put it in a cabinet. Then a couple weeks later, they come, they add more glue till they finally fill the crack in. And then the very last coating they do, they take this sap and they mix it, usually with gold dust, and they apply it. Now you would think, well, you want to hide the crack, right? You know, the idea is you, if you got something that's cracked, you kind of turn it around so the cracks are at the back, right? Well, in this case, it actually becomes something to show. To actually show that that was a crack and it's been repaired. Show the next picture. Here's another example. Isn't that beautiful? Absolutely beautiful. Now, here's the interesting part. The more cracked the pot, the more gold that's used to repair it. Now, just think about that. The more damage there was means that it becomes more valuable once it's put back into the potter's hand. Now, put you into that. You got all these broken pieces. Here you are. You're all broken up. And the more broken you are, actually, in the hands of the master potter, the better you will be, the more value you will be when you come out the other side. And I'm not talking about gold, something more valuable than gold. Oh, and by the way, gold is used for the asphalt of heaven, all right? So gold, in heaven isn't worth anything. But the principle is here that we have value, more value, placed back into the master's hand. But are you willing to do that? And that's the struggle that each one of us deal with, isn't it? Can I tell you that your master will not hurt you anymore? Not like the world. Your master will help you every step of the way. First Peter 5:10 says this. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. I want you to just look at this. First of all, the God of grace, the one who has given everything for you. Remember I talked about that tree having to give up its life? What did Jesus do? He hung on a cross. He hung on a wooden cross. That tree gave up its life. Pretty cool, right? And so here's Jesus. The symbolism is amazing, that there was a sacrifice involved for the repair to happen. And it's true. The blood of Jesus changes everything. It's our repair material, all right? And in fact, it's not so much gold that we see, but I believe we see red, because I see the forgiveness and the love of Jesus. In my cracks, that's what I see. You can see gold if you want, but I see something far more valuable. I see the blood of Jesus in the cracks in my life. I see where his handiwork is there, and that makes that area that used to be an area of guilt and shame and brokenness, now all of a sudden, it's a place of strength and victory and power. And so now, when I look at my past and the mistakes of my past, instead of being ashamed of it, I point to it and say, look at what God has done. He's redeemed me. He's made me a better vessel than I was before. But look at this scripture. It goes on and says, after you suffered a little while. That word suffer actually means go through fiery trials. Go through the kilns of life, all right? After you've gone through and experienced some of that, here's what he says. And even if there's cracks that happen, God doesn't throw you away. What does he do? He says, will himself restore you. That word restore in the original language means to make better than it was in the first place. And when you saw those pictures of that Japanese pottery, doesn't that look more beautiful than if it was just a plain old pot? Well, I got news for you. You're all crack pots, all right? You all are. And the fact is that God wants to make you more beautiful than ever. That's what he wants to do. He wants to make you better than you were even when he first made you. And the experiences of life, whether good or bad, the horrible things that have happened to you, God will use those things to bring honor and glory to him, but also make you a stronger person as well. Let's stand up together. So just listen, just for a moment, just with eyes closed, head bowed. My concern here, first of all, is that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then he can't fix you. It all begins with accepting him as Lord and Savior. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, he can't begin the process of restoration. He just can't. And so just again, every eye closed, every head bowed, if you're in this place and you've never asked Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, this is your moment to do that. So he can begin the restoration process. If there's anyone here, just raise your hand. If you've never accepted Jesus, you can't name a moment or a time where you're like, yeah, I did that. and you, or you're not sure, today can be your day. I just want to make sure that everyone knows Jesus here. All right, I don't see any hands. I want to believe we're in a saved house. Amen? So, Father, right now I pray that we can all just be honest with you. And so if there's anyone here and you know you're a cracked pot. Now, just so you know, I've already confessed I am. I am, all right? But if you're a cracked pot, still in need of repair in some areas, just slip your hand up in the air to the Lord. That's all I'm asking you to do. So I see those hands everywhere here. If you're watching online, you can do the same thing just to acknowledge to the Lord. Okay, you can put those hands down. Father, you saw those hands raised all through the sanctuary here, and I'm sure those watching online as well. And Lord God, you are our Redeemer and our friend. You're the one that can take cracked pots that look irreparable, that the world would throw away, but in your hands can repair and make better than new. Restore, completely made whole. And instead of it being a fault, instead of it being a weakness in our life, it becomes a place and a point of strength, that it becomes part of our testimony of overcoming in and through you. Lord God, I pray for each person here that has those cracked and broken areas, that as they submit them to you as the master potter, that you will take each person into your hands and begin to reshape and remold and repair and restore and bring joy where there was hurt, to bring happiness where there was sorrow, to bring love where there was hatred. Lord, I thank you that you are a good God and that you can do this. So we submit to the Master's hands today, to the great potter. We surrender to you. So, Lord, I pray that each day as we walk forward from this, that we will be conscious that you're there to help us every step of the way. So bless each one as they continue to look to you for strength and grow in you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.